Hello everyone, welcome to Scum and Paul's Rambling Podcast.
Hello.
Scum is glad you're joined with my good friend Nicole Paul Brown.
Once again. Hello.
Hello. How are you feeling, Paul? I understand you're a bit under the weather now.
I am a bit under the weather at the moment, Scott. I am feeling a little shitty, but you know, in my mind, people come first.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be a dutiful podcaster. I come hell or whatever else, in sickness or health, I will be here, I will do the show. Right. And then once the show is done, I will go to my bed.
I just curl up back into the fetal position.
Well, that is the plan.
Yeah, it's a decent plan. That's what I do.
It's coming in waves at the moment. This is a good wave, so.
Oh, that's good. So let's hope it lasts through the recording then. But is it just your regular like cold or?
I think it may just be a cold or a flu. I'm not quite sure. But whatever it is, it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I get you.
It sucks. I have not even been able to smoke a lot.
Yes, just perish the thought as he starts rolling his cigarette.
I know. It's terrible.
I know. Well, he braves to not being able to smoke as he rolls his cigarette.
Well, I figure if he can smoke, you're okay.
I mean, I don't think you can really feel any worse there, can you? I mean,
yeah. If you're smoking, you ain't dead, so you're okay.
Oh. I don't want to get into that one. But yeah, we're here. I don't have at the time recording, I mean, you'll see what the title of this show is. I haven't thought of the title yet because it's just a general wrestling episode. I mean, we want to talk about some Impact because we've got Slammiversary coming up this Saturday night.
It is a pugilistic pick and mix. There you go.
We'll put that in the maybe pile.
The pugilistic pick and mix of mystery and... Pugilistic pick and mix of mirth and mystery. There you go.
This is the name of a bloody Monty Python sketch.
Hey, I could have wrote for them, I don't know.
Could have.
Could at least wrote the titles, that's about it. I couldn't have wrote anything else.
You just go into the room, all six Pythons are there, you write down a name, like, here you go. What's it about? Like,
what will we call it? What will we call it? And I go, maybe I could help.
I was thinking more of like, here's some sketch titles. But what is the premise? I don't know, that's your department, I'm not the how guy, I'm the names guy.
I'll be like a wee woman and chewing the fat. You know, self-liquidating campaign. Right, you're fired. Agnes, sit down.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on. I mean, I feel stupid saying there's a lot going on in wrestling, because it feels like every time we do a wrestling thing, so we're just talking about general what's going on in WWE Impact and places like that.
Yeah.
There is always good stuff going on, because... I feel like there'll never be not something going on in the world of wrestling, you know?
Nah. That's what makes the world of wrestling so awesome,
mm-hmm.
if you ask me. It doesn't really matter what organization that you particularly adhere to.
Uh-huh.
You're going to find something.
Yeah.
I tend to watch, like I am predominantly at the moment, I have flipped, I am predominantly a dub guy at the moment, because... I've just found everything with the dub at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from Becky Lynch and her feud with Trish,
uh-huh.
and Zoe Stark, to the women's tag thing, mm-hmm. to the multiple people that could possibly challenge Rhea for the title.
Mm-hmm.
That giant Mexican better keep her nose out of it. Because she should stick to the tag belts. She can't beat Rhea.
Well, she's not going to, but I think the rumors they're going to have a match. But which I'm looking forward to, because I think, given the size, I mean, she's taller than... Only by a little bit, but taller than you, given by the face-to-face on Raw. Sorry to interrupt your point, but you mentioned this, but like, it's a case of like, at least you can give Rhea a big actual competitive match on pay-per-view for the title, because as fun as it is to see her retain squash people like Natalya and Zelina Vega, as a fan of Rhea, you'd also like to see her a match with somewhat competitive, make you think even for a second she might lose
before
reassuring you, oh no, she's won again.
No, because the last person she had in that category was the person she won the belt from.
Exactly. You know, she gets handed that new version, that new belt, you know, the new women's world belt and everything, but then the next pay-per-view she can appear on, she's only in Dom's corner.
Yeah.
But you know, it's good to see them still being a pair and everything, but you also like to see Rhea... You know, wrestling.
But also you've got like the thing with Mr. Money in the Bank, I'll correct myself, Senor,
mm-hmm.
Money in the Bank. And you've got the whole tension between him and Finn.
Uh-huh.
So you've got the Judgment Day story, you've got the Bloodline thing, which is engaging as fuck at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got, I suppose you've got Sammy and KO who are just kind of tossing about being funny at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not really they're not offending me because they're not really doing anything. You know, they've not had, I think since the Bloodline story finished up and they won the titles,
yeah,
I think you got the point, right, we've done that, what do we do with them now?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, let's just have them do skits backstage and have Kevin Owens shout a lot.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, we'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're like, okay, cool. You don't know what to do with these two. You probably shouldn't have put the belts on those two, should you? Because they don't know what we're doing.
Well, you needed the belts off the Usos in order to advance the story. Because then the Usos fail, get them back, and Roman gets annoyed, and then Roman's like, I'm going to do it then.
Yeah.
And then the Usos cost him that, and then that sets everything in motion for the match they had.
Oh, no, I totally get why, and why it was necessary for them to be the ones to win. But like I say, there's so many other, you know, actual teams that I would...
Yeah.
I mean, you've got Imperium, you've got Alpha Academy, you've got Laredo. Well, you could have Laredo, so they're not really up.
I'd rather you didn't.
You know, but Alpha Academy.
Yeah.
I'm really loving Alpha Academy at the minute, you know. Love them.
Yeah. Love how they flipped around your expectations, like, oh, no, that Maxine and our model pals are going to steal Otis away. And like, no, she's just joined up with them and Gable's showing her how to be a wrestler.
And our model pals will get back to catering.
Apparently so.
So Mace and Mansoor are not Maximum Male TV stars anymore.
Apparently not.
They are Maximum Male caterers.
That's a shame though, because like they got like, okay, we've got an angle phase. Oh, actually, no, we only need Tarso off, use Dougal.
Aye.
Just as they finally gave the two a proper gimmick.
I suppose they'll get there, though. I suppose something will happen for them. I just don't think it'll be very much.
Uh-huh.
You know? Because, I mean, you knew that Maximum Male Models crap was done the minute LA Knight re-emerged.
Yeah.
I've seen some of that the other day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the footage from when he was Max Dupree.
Yes.
And I seen it and I thought, they were having LA Knight,
mm-hmm.
day that. Come on, man.
I mean, I think it's a case of, like, he just puts it down to, I think they weren't sure about me because they came into the main roster and they found out, like, this guy's nearly 40. And despite the fact Bobby Lashley's over 40 and a year or so ago he was WWE champion.
Yeah, Bobby Lashley's nearly 50.
Yeah, I think he's like 44 now, because he turns 45.
48.
No, that's as age is we're about 48.
No, and they're still putting him up.
Yeah.
You know, so fuck him.
Fucking Goldberg beat The Fiend when he was 52.
Let's not speak of that because that should not have happened.
It's a weird juxtaposition because a couple of podcasts that I follow called Steven Larson, they make a joke about the thing. He says wrestling is the only industry or the only sport where apparently you get stronger as you get older, whereas any other sport, as you get older, you slow down.
Yeah.
Whereas also, as they point out, the weird double standard of, 50-year-olds, you can still beat, come back for our main event push. You're a woman in your mid-30s. Oh, look at this veteran of the sport, you know, she's probably going to wrap up soon. Like, no, I mean, fucking Trish Stratus is, I think, if not over, I think she might be over 40. And look what she's doing right now. Maybe some of the best work she's ever done right now.
Yeah. And you couldn't tell she was over 40 because she can still go very well in the ring, apart from getting her face broken, Money in the Bank.
Yeah, but like, I think also, much like DDP, she got well into yoga in her time away, so also that'll keep you like fit at least. I mean, maybe not suited for taking bumps, but at least you've got more movement and you're not as, time is not taking its toll on your body as much, you know.
No.
I'll just put it that way.
Like me, I don't do yoga.
No,
I don't move well. I don't think if I did yoga, I would move well anyway, though.
No.
I really don't.
Yeah, like you said, there's a lot to enjoy right now with WWE.
Yeah. Well, it's, like I say, it's kind of, it's taking my focus, and it, you know, bad me for that one.
Uh-huh.
Slap my own hand for that one, but I've completely neglected watching Impact Wrestling.
Uh-huh.
I would still look up and see what's going on, like, on Facebook and shit. But I haven't been watching because everything in WWE so this past year has just been so goddamn good.
We'll save a lot of the Impact stuff towards the end because I think it would be good to round off talking about Slammers and maybe make some wee predictions, you know,
for a
laugh, to see what's going to happen at the show. So I'm looking forward to, because maybe that will get you like back into the swing of things because
I said it
for the last 2 or 3 years when Slammers comes around. To me, Slammers and this new regime of Impact is become almost more important than Bound for Glory in terms of the annual big show for Impact Wrestling?
Well, I think when it comes around to Slammiversary time, I'm going to have to watch at least two previous episodes beforehand to catch myself up, you know. I don't want to go in blind, you know.
Well, that's the thing, the way, even if you don't have the Impact Plus thing where you can watch the full episodes, you can still, on for YouTube, like, put, like, segments in their entire, rematches in their entire, so you can catch up on, like, what are the key points going to be, like, here's the guys who are in this tier match, here's the segments they've been in the last couple of weeks, you know?
See, it'd be handy, because I have my ways to watch Raw and SmackDown all the time. If I had the same method to watch Impact, that would be just spiffy. But I don't.
Plus, also, I've got some thoughts, both positive and negative, to say about Impact from what I've been keeping up with.
Ah, okay. Well, see, I'm going to have to listen to your sagely wisdom on it, because I have neglected Impact.
Right.
And I feel terrible about it. I do.
But it's weird that you said that you've been more focused on what's going on in WWE, which 2 or so years ago, that would be unthinkable, the way we were going on about it and the way that the company was. Like,
well, that was Vince's fault.
I know, because everyone was excited for, like, the first couple of shows after full fans had come back, and then it didn't take too long for people to sit in, like, oh, well, it's not the lack of fans that are the problem, it's what you're presenting on TV that's the fucking problem.
Yeah. And then old Daddy Trips came in and fixed everything. Yay. He fixed everything. And whenever Vince sticks his nose in, him and Nick can go backstage and go, oh. Mind your business, you old cunt.
But it's weird, because, like, they've been on a hell of a run of shows, like, especially given, like, the endings are always what people are talking about, particularly.
Yeah.
You know, the Rumble through to now, and a lot of it has to do with the Bloodline.
Oh, yeah. That is probably, in years to come, that is probably going to be seen as one of the best fucking stories in the history of the business. Like, every goddamn person involved with the Bloodline, I think, is going to be Hall of Fame when it comes time to it, you know? I think especially Roman. Roman's going to be Hall of Fame without even fucking thinking about it. He's going to be Hall of Fame. Paul Heyman should be Hall of Fame for his contribution to wrestling over years. Usos, Sammy even, you know? Let's not forget, when Sammy initially broke away from the Bloodline, he had a series of fucking fantastic matches. You know, that match with Roman, which was, remind me?
Elimination Chamber.
Elimination Chamber. What a match that was.
And the reason, like, he had the SmackDown before it, where he spoke quite a bit of his promo in French. He swore at Roman in French so he could get around TV censors.
Yeah.
And then a few months later, gets to then show off his body long, because then he got to speak to the Saudi Arabia fans in Arabic and everything. Thing for him, because I think when he came up, if you'd followed him in NXT and everything, and there, a run like this with the Bloodline and then the previous run that he had breaking away from them is the kind of run that some people may have been waiting for Sammy to have for quite a while, and then he got to show many people, like, that he could do that. And,
well, it was sort of cut in, right? Yeah. But it's really good to see, because before the Bloodline storyline, I think, honestly, Sammy was floundering. You know, he had that stupid gimmick match with the Jackass people, which made him look kind of like, oh, he's just a gimmick guy,
I loved that match.
It was zany. Actually, remember the giant mousetrap?
Wee man slamming him, and wee man slamming Sammy as if he's fucking Hogan trying to slam Andre the Giant.
I know.
I remember, like, there were three of, like, the newer Jackass crew at ringside, and then other guys seemed to be popping up from under the ring, like, could you only get 3 tickets for your crew? Like, okay, everyone else needs to hide under the ring. But, like, you talk about, I've seen so many lists of people talking about how guys maybe went down the card between Mania sometime. Has there ever been a more jarring change in placement of WrestleMania from Jackass gimmick match on one night to main event of one of the nights the following year?
Yeah.
The tag titles, no less.
Very true. Let's see, to say that he paid his dues.
Yeah.
Well, that's somebody that's paid his dues and earned what he deserves, you know what I mean? So,
and if I even did that interview, I think it was around the time of the Rumble, where people were trying to paint up, like, oh, if Cody gets the Mania shot and not him, this will be a repeat of the Bryan Pisa situation, and it really wasn't. And it turned out not to be, and even Sammy himself just came out and was very frank, like, I don't think that's going to be the case and everything. I think he's even one of the people who's like, he's just happy doing what he's doing. Like, I don't think he really, if he didn't get the title, he probably wouldn't mind, because like, he's just happy with what he's doing. And he even says, like, he even hinted to, like, saying that he liked the stuff under Triple H without having to say it. But he said, like, everything changed for me when I got that first thing with me and Roman in terms of his placement in the Bloodline. He says, would that happen under Vince? I can't say for sure. So I think he's pretty much implying, like, yeah, since Triple H took over, I've been doing great.
Yeah, since Triple H, since somebody with a fucking brain took over. Just somebody with cabbage for a brain.
Yeah, so going to Money in the Bank, everything, and seeing how everything's, like, unfolded since WrestleMania, like, I think I saw another wrestling, like, personality, I can't remember who it was, saying that it's weird looking at it now. It's kind of, we all thought the stuff going into Mania was the Bloodline story ends because of Cody, Kevin, and Sammy all taking belts away from the Bloodline.
Mm.
And when you look at it, it's a case of, no, this wasn't any of their story. They were just characters in the Bloodline story. Like, yeah, them and everyone else that Roman's beat, they're all characters and extra steps to help advance the Bloodline's story, which then led to the Civil War at Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Almost 33 minutes long, bell limit. I mean, I don't know if online it includes entrances, because fucking Roman's engines can go on for a bit.
It can, but it's good to see.
But having said that, and even the one or two matches, like the Dom Cody match or the World Title match, I think by that point in the evening, even though it was early on, I'd been doing a lot of walking that day. That was the first day of my steps challenge that I'd been doing.
Yeah.
And then the excitement, the ups and downs of the show, and then I was starting to wane a little bit. Mm. But then once the Bloodline thing, no matter how long it went on, I was gripped. From bell to bell, I was gripped. All the little points, like Roman barking orders at Solo.
Mm.
Solo then having to get Roman to snap out of it when he can't put the Usos away. That fucking spike spear combo.
Oh, that was cool as fuck.
And then Roman tried to do the repeat of Radio 37 where he stacks the Usos, but they both kick out.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the biggest one, going to hit pin Jay. And much like Clash of Champions 2020, kicks out with the low blow.
With that, yeah. And the thing is, right, it's not even something I could think I could watch twice, because you see, when you see a wrestling event like that, that is so just awesome in every aspect, you can't really watch it again, because you want to get that same. I mean, it'll be good.
Yeah.
But it won't feel the same way as it did when you've seen it. And you knew nothing, and you didn't know what was coming, and you just, you know, you can't watch it twice, because you don't get that on the edge of your seat, kind of, what's going to happen? Yeah. And recently, and I hate saying it, but this is just how I say it, or see it, I should say, with Impact, the last couple of times I was watching it, I just wasn't getting that.
Yeah.
I wasn't getting that. Excitement like a football fan does when their team's in a final or something. That's it. The only way I can equate it, the only thing I can equate it to is like when your team's in the final and they're on that last shot.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, like you don't realise you're holding your breath, but you're holding your breath. Every goddamn time I watch WWE, I get that feeling. And it's just awesome.
And like, it's amazing, like the Bloodline thing, I think they're going to be careful when they come out of the Bloodline and they find its official conclusion, because it's been the best thing about WWE for a long time, so you got to make sure that you've got other things elsewhere to go by that, because you don't want people switching off as soon as the best story in the company ends, because there's nothing else for them to, you know, gravitate to. But you know, because like with the story, they've not, there's been points you knew, kind of knew were going to happen, but they didn't give you them immediately. Like, Kevin Owens kind of helped Sammy Elimination Chamber, but they don't immediately get back together. They tease that for a few more weeks. Then they get together, fight at Mania against the Usos. Jimmy attacks Roman at Night of Champions, but Jay doesn't immediately get on board. They tease it for a couple weeks. They even have Jimmy accidentally cost Jay a match, which made you think Jay might use that to side with Roman. And then that brilliant segment on SmackDown, you're out. And I'm out too.
I loved that. And I shouted at the TV when it happened, but and I was sort of like, yes! I was like, kick the fuck out going.
And then that clip that went around of like they were still filming after the camp, after SmackDown ended, in Roman's face, and you hear the line from the Usos song, it's not paranoia, it's the Usos, as Roman just looks up the ramp like,
yeah.
And then coming out on SmackDown with that t-shirt, the only one, is there's that big wide shot of the crowd with Suzy's music, it's got people standing up and doing the one thing.
I know. I loved it and all, like, you see it, Money in the Bank. Like, just the wee things, you know, like Money in the Bank where he's sitting on the outside of the ring, he's going, England, man, God, this is the stupidest place ever, man. People are stupid, man.
Stand up if you hate Roman, stand up.
Tribal wanker. Tribal wanker.
I know, I mean,
the UK crowd was fucking shit.
Oh, they did not disappoint. And I think EW and WWE are learning that, like, maybe taking that your company outside of America more often is the best thing to do.
Take your company to Scotland, man. Take WrestleMania to Hampden or some shit, that'd be cool. I don't even know if Hampden would be big enough for WrestleMania, although you'd need like two Hamdens.
Like, you got people singing along with everything, like singing along with Sammy's song, the loudest woe that Cody's had so far, and I'm Money in the Bank.
The fucking crowd going off with tits for LA.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Tell him whose game it is, he just wheezes his head there.
L.A. Night, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you did a bit of acting, right, before coming to, like, making a big, like, impact, and someone sent me a link to this. I didn't realise they had Aldi stores in the US, like, the occasional Aldi, right, and he's in an Aldi advert.
Cool.
And just people, the caption on the tweet, LA Night shops at Aldi confirmed.
I shop at Aldi, yeah. So what was his impact name again?
Eli Drake,
and he was champ, right?
For a while, yeah.
And he said, like, I think only three people were watching at that point, so.
Yeah, so he'd be like, what did you think of it being Impact Champion? Well, not much, because no one was watching.
Nobody was watching when I was a fucking champ. Who did he beat for it?
I think it was vacant because Alberto Del Rio was a prick.
Oh.
Can't remember what he'd done, but he's just a prick.
Del Rio was an Impact.
Aye.
Fuck me, I didn't know that.
But anyway,
in that El Patron or something?
El Patron, aye. But so he won it, he had a battle royal or a gauntlet style thing, and the last person he beat for it was Johnny Impact. Then he lost it to Austin Aries, who then came in, and then shortly a few months later Eli was gone.
Allegedly, Johnny Impact, Johnny Mundo.
apparently, according to him, you know, I think he was having some issues with people backstage, you know. I think he loved Scott D'Amore, but he hated Don Callis.
Yeah, well.
And then, supposedly, he said he felt like they were looking for a reason to let him go, and then he basically refused to do a match with Tessa Blanchard, and they let him go.
Well, I'd refuse to do a match with that snake anyway. Flat-nosed snake.
And I know there were a lot of people disappointed that he didn't win Money in the Bank, but if you're going to go with an alternative, Damian Priest, you can do worse than...
No, I said to Brian at the time, I said, 100% I will fucking lose it if LA wins it. And I says to him, it's got to be LA or Damian, because if any LA pricks that are learning making up the numbers win, I will only be a happy boy, you know?
Well, he even said, I think I've only started really getting hot since March, and it's July now, so I don't know if that's as over as he is. If you don't have anything for him storyline-wise upon winning the Money in the Bank, I think you may just be setting him up to fail.
Well, I hear tell, don't quote me on this, I hear tell they're setting him up to have a program with Austin Theory to win the
US,
US belt, which would be fucking cool, because he'd be a hell of a lot more entertaining US champ than Theory is at the moment.
Theory won that belt in November, by the way.
Yeah, he's held it for quite a time.
And done fuck all with it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm saying nothing on Theory. I mean, the guy's fine looking.
Yeah.
You know? The guy's fine looking. He's great in ring. You know, I think he's kind of lost his way a little bit character wise. He needs to get back on it, you know?
Yeah. I think it'd be a good match maybe for SummerSlam. Him, let LA Knight carry the belt, let him defend it a bit more regularly, and see how his momentum carries, and then you can put him in the. Remember the main event scene.
It seems to be LA Knight has took on the breakers though. Anybody that LA Knight is in a major feud with disappears.
I know
that's happened to Bray.
Who would have thought that he'd come out that Mountain Dew match the better off?
Well, that's because he was not like every opponent that had come before. He wasn't a pussy.
No.
You know? He wasn't a little bitch. He came out here and he was still going, yeah.
When you really look at it, other than also the disappointment not seeing LA Knight win, but you look at the two winners of Mind of Acme, think about it. Everybody's done the best thing they could do it and took in two people who are in the midst of storylines right now who that the briefcase could be used to advance. Yeah. And both involving dissension with a partner.
How cool was the ending of the women's Money in the Bank?
Probably the most inventive ladder match finish in God knows how long.
And it was so significant. It was interesting that not only did she cuff Bailey to Trish, Becky, she stepped over.
Mm.
That was the significant, that was the fucking, like, she cuffed the bitch and she just stepped over her.
And that was after... Becky had done like the fish hook thing with part of the handcuffs as well.
I know, that was kind of cool. Becky fish hooked her down after hanging there, and Io comes in, cuffs her to the fucking thing, and then just climbs out of her.
Funnily enough, it's the first time since they started doing too many nights that the women's one has went on second. And I think for good reason, because it was a better Money in the Bank overall in terms of the two matches, and I think this one had the most story of the two, whereas the men's one was trying to set up spots. Some of them did not go too well. AI, you know, fucking Logan Paul nearly landed on his fucking head.
Well, I knew that was going to fuck up the minute we were getting ready to do it, because when him and Ricochet were on that second rope, they were awful, you know, trying to get their fitting right, and then they just seemingly fell, you know.
But they managed to turn it into a feud on TV, which is, you know, the most high profile thing Ricochet's done in God knows how long.
I've got to say, though, I think it's fucking awesome as the Women's Money in the Bank finish was. You know, if Becky and Bailey hadn't just been bitches to each other, you know, if they'd just decided to push the ladder that way.
Aye.
No, but they decided to squabble. Like idiots. Which is why Io Sky rightfully won.
So yeah, but then you got the Priestly and T's dissension with an Indigenous Day, and Io can use her as to further the thing with her and Bailey.
You should just spank her on her big ass with them. But what do you go, get out my road, go on. You.
They did the big tease on SmackDown, didn't they?
Mm.
That she was going to cash in, but I think, okay, we will.
I mean, what has Bailey done significant in the last wee while? She cut the shots of Blackheart's hair.
Aye.
Wow. You know? A damage control, got to be the most nutting faction. Like, forever, I mean. The most significant part of Damage Control was Io and Dakota Kai winning the tag belts.
Yeah, Bailey not winning the Raw Women's belt. Fuck them early on.
But I think Io, I hope Io successfully cashes in her goddamn briefcase. I really do.
Do you know about apparently the fact that she's held it since she got past the Monday after Money in the Bank?
Yeah.
The briefcase. Makes her officially the second longest holder of the briefcase all time.
Yeah.
Because other women, other than Carmella and her, have either cast it on the night or the following night on Raw.
Carmella held hers basically for a calendar year, did you know?
She's like less than like a week longer than Edge back in like 2005-06. Because Edge being the first one was the longest for ages, and then Carmella's kind of sneaked in as an over like all time by like a few days. Because she did hers like after WrestleMania.
No, but I did love it enough when I was watching Raw the other week, and she walked up to Rhea, and she was like, "Ah, show you," and Rhea just went, "Try it, I dare you, it'll be the worst mistake you ever made." And I watched that, man, and watching the current so-called maybe feud that might be happening between her and Raquel, it's funny watching Raquel Rodriguez try to act intimidating. See, compared to Rhea.
See, she used to actually be intimidating in NXT.
Oh, I know.
When she was not Raquel Rodriguez, when she was Raquel Gonzalez, she ran Rhea out of NXT. They did like a false count anywhere match. Yeah. And she did her powerbomb to Rhea through part of the fucking stage. And then that sent Rhea off in 2021 to fight with Asuka and go onto the main roster and everything. So they were really like building Raquel up. Ironically, that didn't set her up to win the NXT title off of Io Sky, of all people, back then. So... you know, that old phase that people were used to say about NXT, back when they were good.
Yeah.
That old thing.
Back when Raquel was good and all kind of... It's like, see, whenever she comes out and does her thing with her pose, I'm like, What are you showing off?
Yes, you have a back and it has muscles on it. Good for you.
No, she goes and she does that and I'm like, what are you showing off? You've not got any muscles. Rhea's got muscles. Rhea's built like fuck. You're just a big chick.
I really wish they would go back to proper Titantrons. You get like, I'm showing actual footage of them wrestling.
Aye.
Because ones like hers were just a static image. Like, you look like you're advertising shit on fucking like, an infomercial kind of thing.
No, like, you see her come out and you go, aye, cool. Big Mexican chick that needs Liv Morgan to have any kind of interest.
Yeah.
Whereas Rhea comes out and you go, aye, there's the chick that should be leading the Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you see Rhea, and you think, that chick could fucking win the men's belt.
Uh-huh.
She could kick your ass for you.
Uh-huh.
Whereas you see Raquel and you go, ah, you're good and all, but nobody gave two fucks about you until you went and teamed up with Liv Morgan.
Pretty much.
You need to rub for Liv to make you interesting.
Going back to something we were talking about earlier on about the bloodline and everything, I don't know how we got from that to here, but that match ending with Roman being pinned for the first time since December 15th, 2019. He was pinned by Baron Corbin.
I know. He's been making a good call for his selling NXT recently.
For 1 week when he fought Carmelo Hayes, he became the lone wolf again and then burned all his old gimmick stuff and like he's trying to reinvent himself again. So that'll be interesting. And then you've had the Judgment Day going down to NXT and Finn once again, for the second time, pinned Carmelo Hayes. So once Carmelo Hayes, because they're doing a special on the 30th of July. They're doing a Great American Bash special for NXT. Where Carmelo's going to fight Ilya Dragunov for the title. So I'm assuming after that, because they teased, there was a report came out a wee while ago that, oh, they want to have NXT titles at SummerSlam. Maybe Carmelo comes up, divides his time between NXT and the main roster and starts a thing with Judgment Day properly, then going after the NXT. Because for a while...
I heard it was going to be Dom.
Aye, Dom's fighting for the North American title next week.
Who's he fighting?
Wes Lee. He used to be Dez and the Rascals.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't remember which one he was.
You see, fucking Wens finally came back to Impact. Your team. They might find a way on this week, depending on, we're recording this before this week's Impact. I think there's a match between like Wes and Chris Bay, and if Wens wins, then...
the Rascals will get the fight.
They're going to be added to the Slammiversary match.
Cool. To see Wes back and doing stuff after that nonsense that came up.
Yeah, apparently, like, they've reformed the wrestle then Sammy's promotion Wrestling Revolver with a guy called Myron Reed taking up the third role.
Cool.
And they'd been in a feud over there, ironically, with Ace and Bay.
That's cool.
Because
when that big idiot came out looking like a mad made a wrestling gear, you know, what's her face?
Kimberly.
Aye, that you. Coming out with her bloody nonsense.
And then
getting fun out of her being a bullshitter.
Everyone from MJF to Wesley's own wife like came out and defended him. So it seems like things have died down on that front, which is why he's in Impact.
He's came back.
Mm-hmm.
She's no.
Yeah.
She's sitting at him waiting for her mom to make her a new costume. So every time she used to come out, I used to go, fuck's sake, did her mom make that ring you?
Then it's funny because like Wes had a thing for a while where like, they told the story of him being lost without his partner. Then Wes, they told a story of him being lost with his partner once Wes left, and then Wesley won the North American title. He's been on a hell of a run with it, actually. He did a unique spin on the Open Challenge concept where he said, I'll be in the ring at the start of NXT, whoever wants this come out. And then they come backstage, everyone on the roster's fighting and fall over each other, trying to be the first to the curtain. And then there were two big guys fighting, and a guy called Nathan Fraser literally just jumped, dove over them, like, and got in the ring, like, I'm first, I'm here, I get the shots. But yeah, Dom's fighting him next week. But then, so I could see Carmelo coming up to main roster sometime soon. But I think Roman getting pinned, and then after the tribal court segment at MSG this week.
That was so, you know.
Yeah.
Like, and the thing is, with him, you know he's going to do something fucked up, but he always gets you that wee bit that you're thinking, really, is he going to do that? And then he hoofs him right in the boss, and you're like, I knew you were going to do that, but then there's that wee bit of your brain that goes, I thought you might know do that, but then you go, no, and then the rest of your brain goes, fuck are you thinking that for? You knew he was going to be a prick. You knew he was going to be a bastard.
It's weird, because like, at Money in the Bank and on the set, taking the spit in, there seems to be every so often it teases, like, oh, the day Solo is not going to stand for, Solo's not going to stand where he won't, but then he does in the end.
I loved that at the end, they were all at SmackDown that time and all, when fucking Jay was like that. That's it, me and you, I gotta get you. He's like, you better accept my challenge so I can whoop your ass one more time. And I'm sorry,
Jay is played by Samuel Jackson in your story.
I'm no Welsh, shut up. But fucking, I don't think he's going to win. I don't think he's going to beat Roman, but it's going to be a hell of a match. And the only reason I say that is because I don't think it's going to happen, at least until a WrestleMania. I see what you're saying.
But at the same time,
I could be wrong.
I see what you're saying, yeah. But at the same time, a big part of me kind of wants to see it happen.
No, I get you. I would love to see it happen. It'd be phenomenal.
Hell, I don't even think he's going to hold it that long, you know, but have a couple months of being properly main event, Jey Uso, with that belt. And then maybe let him lose it back to Roman or whatever, and Roman can carry it to Mania.
Everyone lose it to LA Knight.
But just a case of, you know, Jay being the first guy that he defends the title against, and then being the last guy he defends it against in this 1,000-plus-day reign. Like, before you got in, I got this point I made on ESR Central recently, the idea of there was this cool promo that Jay cut and lead up to the Clash of Champions match. He was saying to Roman, like, yeah, you're the tribal chief, you're the head of the table, like, it's you who brings the food to the table, ever. Why can't it be me? You know, why can't I be the guy? He said, you know, people see you, like, oh, there's Roman Reigns, Universal Champion, you know, main WrestleMania main eventer. You know what they say when they look at me? Which one are you?
Yeah.
And now, more than ever, I think with the storyline, we've finally, Jay and Jimmy have finally managed to establish themselves as individuals as well. They can have their own singles runs,
yeah,
as well, still being a team. And basically, they've answered this question, like, why can't it be Jay? You know, he can beat Roman Reigns, clearly. No. Because even Jimmy seems to be supporting him, because, like, when he kicked Roman at Clag at Night of Champions, like, I'm doing what you should have done a long time ago.
Aye. I love that. He's like, I'm your brother, I would never treat you like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to deal with him. And then that second kick he gave him, well, you know how you think sometimes that one's got a bit of stank behind it? No, yeah. That one has a bit of stank behind it, man.
Yeah.
You wonder just how much, like, that's the thing, like, that storyline is making you, like, it's flooding between storyline and reality at times, where you're going, did he really boot him that hard, you know what I mean? You're like, fuck, man.
Yeah, I mean, another moment from that Money in the Bank, when they went for the splash and Roman got the guillotine on him, which you don't see him use that often, so you know he's getting desperate.
Aye, that's his desperation move. Quit, you bastard, just quit.
Like, they're going to Ford Field in Detroit, the same venue they did Mania 23 for SummerSlam this year. And let me lay out the card that seems to pretty much be confirmed, or at least has been rumoured. Like, let me list these matches for you to see. This sounds for a big SummerSlam card. Roman versus Jay.
Awesome.
By whatever the storyline seems to be going on Raw, I'm assuming it's a Seth, maybe Balor rematch for the belt.
Awesome.
Just further tease a potential Damian cash-in. Rhea versus Raquel. Asuka, Charlotte, Bianca triple threat match.
Right.
Ronda versus Shayna in a singles match.
Right.
Potentially Gunther versus Drew for the Intercontinental title.
That'll be good as long as Gunther doesn't lose.
I don't know if they put it on SmackDown or they put it on SummerSlam. I'll just say for SummerSlam, LA Knight, Austin Theory.
That'd be awesome.
Logan Paul versus Ricochet.
That'll also be awesome as long as Ricochet wins.
And can't think literally of anything else.
Yeah.
Cody versus Brock.
Well, that'll be good.
Which is rumoured to be a Texas Bull Rock match.
That'll be good as long as Cody can finally get a bloody win.
Well, yeah, he won the first one.
Aye, but if he can win the rubber match and finally be done with it.
As long as this is a brawl match where they just beat the shit out of each other, it's not a, I touch one corner, I touch the other corner.
Aye.
You know?
Well, that's just part of a bull rope match. You can win by pin or submission.
Yeah, you know, I'm just saying. But, like, allegedly, you know, in terms of the rumours, there was talk that the first idea pitch for this was a dog collar match, but Brock said no.
Right, I'm not doing that.
No. No, no dogs. Bills there. I know something about bills. I live on a big farm and I kill animals.
Yes. He butchers them too.
Yes.
He does his own butchery.
I mean, fucking look at him. Of course he does.
I wonder if he sells his own meat.
No, he keeps it up for when he goes hibernating after he's... He goes for red to be for a couple months, then he goes and hibernates and stores up all his meat.
I think he's a very, very cool dude, though.
He is, sir.
You know, he wrestles, he hunts, he butchers. He wrestles, he hunts, he butchers.
Yes.
Yes.
Apparently they were going to have him come out at Money in the Bank after Cody's match, but I think because they were having the Cena appearance and the Drew McIntyre return, they don't want a... devalue the pot. How
good was that Cena appearance, man? That was fun.
Apparently they didn't want to devalue the pot that Brock might get, so they went, oh, fuck it, we'll save it for Raw.
Yeah.
Plus Brock wouldn't want to fly all the way to the UK just for an angle.
No, if he was turning there, he'd turn up for a match, you know, just for carry on.
Before we talk about the Cena thing, I've got a can here of Blue Hooch. I've never heard about it before. I think it's a more tropical flavour, so I'm going to crack it open right now as we talk about the Cena thing.
Well, it's very pleasant. It's nice.
I know, I did a bit of a double take when I was in the shop. It's like, ooh, blue.
A blue one.
Not too bad.
No, it's nice.
I mean, not too dissimilar from other, like, maybe not as good as the hula hoops that they do, you know, but not too bad.
No, it's nice. It's nice and fruity.
Yes, I like it a bit fruity. Take that however you wish. But, yeah, the Cena appearance, because...
What? I don't think it's a gay drink. Mojito.
But I remember I was watching it with my brothers because like it was starting at a reasonable time, you could have like 8 o'clock.
Yeah, that was great.
But so we were watching it and then we skipped ahead a couple of adverts and an advert was just ending and we were just talking about whatever. And while the show was, we were just talking about something, I don't know what it was.
We were just talking about whatever.
No, shit. And we were talking. And then all of a sudden, Cena's music hits, and we're just doing it like, what? Because, like, nothing had been announced about it. I think he was over in the UK filming something, so he was nearby. And then everyone going fucking mental, like, because they were like, I've heard people saying, like, oh, I was on my way to the bar or the merch stand, and then I heard Cena's music play, and I ran back to my seat, because, like, the fuck's going on here? I did make this joke when he came in, I said, I turned to my brother, and I went, this is nice. I wonder if he's here to apologise for how shit that Theory match was.
Yeah.
And so he comes in and he starts bumming up the UK fans and everything. As I was, I'm like, okay, John, you're clearly here for some announcement of some kind, you know. Can we fucking get to it? You're going on a bit, pal. The show's long enough as it is. And then he says, I think WrestleMania should come to London. And the reaction to that was, it was something else.
It was loud.
That is an understatement. I mean, people are saying that, and whether you believe it rightly or wrongly, that it's a case of like, the AEW is a new show at Wembley, so if WWE were going to do a WrestleMania value show, surely Wembley would also be the venue they'd maybe aim for size-wise. And like, who cares if it is or isn't a response to AEW doing Wembley or everything? Just be happy about it, because the whole thing about wanting a competition is that when one company does well, it encourages the other one to do well, and everyone says, oh, it'll be the fans that benefit. So stop moaning and start benefiting.
Yeah, and I don't know that AEW is going to do quite what WWE did in England. I don't think they're going to get quite as... I'm sure they'll get some.
Well, obviously, it's a different size in terms of venue, because like, it was 19,000 in the O2.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've upped it, because I think there was a mini surge in ticket sales after Money in the Bank for All In, but so far they're in 74,000 mark.
Yeah.
And they've upped the size of availability to around more than 85,000. So
yeah. I think interesting, they needed a rubber with WWE to make their event more interesting.
I mean, they'd already sold close to 60,000 before then, just on the name value of it. And plus, so I think those last 10 or so thousand are a case of people going like, I might go.
How many tickets did the Dubs sell?
I just told you, they're 19,000. They're in a different, they're a different size venue. When they did Clash of the Castle, that was a 65,000 one.
Yeah.
Whereas now they're AEW's in the 70,000. I think those last 10 or so thousand people are going to be like, I might go, but they're like waiting to see like what the card's going to look like. because in the next month or so they're going to have to start announcing matches for that.
Yeah.
Which is why the next month I'm going to be keeping more of an eye on AEW than I had been doing.
Because
I've got my ticket to go down.
I do hope when you go, I do hope that it's a good show and you enjoy it and all. I really do.
Because I'm flying, it's on the Sunday, on Sunday the 27th, I'm flying down on Saturday morning, where I'm there with pals and everything. We're trying to find ideas of what to do during the Saturday. And then go to the show.
Pub?
Well, a pub, probably.
What else do you need to do?
I mean, not the whole day. I mean, it's fucking a pub in London. I mean, thinking of the prices of drinking.
All right, then off license and then back to the hotel.
But anyway, like, then flying back there the Monday, I think. I mean, the afternoon or something like that. So it should be a hell of a weekend. So I'm looking forward. I think it's just the idea of, like...
And you're flying down.
Yeah, flying
you
down.
You do realise it's England. You can just take a train, right?
Yeah, but it's only an hour to fly.
But train's on the ground.
But plane is faster.
But train is on the ground.
But plane is faster. I don't care. I would have gotten either, but... Yeah, I'm going to get in the plane and that's that. I don't really give a fuck. I'm not as freaked out by planes as I used to be when I was a kid.
I am. I've never been on one, but guess what? I probably never will go on one. Any travelling that I do, and I don't intend to travel very far, any travelling I do will either be...
do.
Yeah.
So I get in there before you did.
It will either be by train, by bus, or by some kind of sea voyage.
Sea voyage?
Yes.
Yeah, nothing bad ever happens at sea.
I will make my way to WrestleMania in a dinghy.
Well, that went places quickly, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Well, yeah, Wembley would probably be the place that everybody would want to do, and plus they'd be doing two nights of it as well. And plus, like, the idea of, like, all the other companies that come to where WWE is doing Mania for Mania Week, all these indie shows and everything, all descend upon London or surrounding areas of London for that weekend if it happens. Because also, I think this is them strong arm in London or the UK to basically say, because cities now bid on and give WWE money to host Mania in the city because it helps them tourism wise. But there are people who are like, but London doesn't need help for tourism. London's one of the biggest, like, most visited cities in the world. But WWE like, come on, the fans want it, come on. Because like, apparently they were, Cardiff wasn't their first choice when they came over back in September last year. But apparently the Welsh government went, hey, here's £2 million. Come do the show here. And there you went, okay.
We'll come.
Yeah, I mean, Principality isn't a bad, wouldn't be a bad venue for WrestleMania either, but it would be weird. WrestleMania from Philadelphia and LA to Wales. Hell, Wales has an airport. They didn't fly there, they flew to London and drove to Cardiff for some reason. But I even said to my brother, like, one of the things, well, not that put me off, but, like, I've always wanted to be at WrestleMania, as many fans probably have. But, obviously, it's the travelling there and setting up hotels and everything in a foreign country, you know, over in America, that really, because of the money that would cost to get out, that's after you've paid, God knows how much for your ticket. But the idea of it being in England, really, I mean, still maybe a pain in the ass together, but it was... They helped with friends and everything, people chipping in for things. Well, I paid more than I probably would have otherwise to go to a wrestling show for All In. It's still less for a flight, weekend, like ticket and accommodation for London. I won't say how much I have spent, but it's basically cheaper than it could have been to go to London for that short period.
Yeah. But you didn't have to sell a kidney or nothing.
Nah. Mm. So, but like... So the idea of Mania being down there, like I said to my brother, losing my exact words, it would cost me every penny I have to go to WrestleMania in the UK, I would do
it.
Just to say I have been at WrestleMania.
I think just on the possibility that WrestleMania might happen in the UK at some point, sometime down the road, I think you'd be best to start saving for a ticket now.
Pretty much, when
it eventually happens... You can go, ooh, I can buy that. Because I think if WrestleMania happened in the UK, I think the minute it was announced, you would have to buy your ticket so you didn't miss out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they probably have dates for when tickets go. I mean, I was that lucky with AEW in that we had, there was a group of at least 9 of us all going, including me and my brother, to London for All In. And we split into groups, okay, like Gary's doing buying tickets for him and these people, and Dave's buying tickets for these people. So we delegate responsibilities and set on money later on. So I'm hoping to do that again, delegate the responsibility, because when tickets immediately go on sale and I go on one of those tickets, say the Ticketmaster or ever, like, they have having those little timers and knowing that other people are going to be on the site, it just fills me with too much pressure. Like, no, it's too much pressure. What if I get the wrong tickets? Because like the earliest that might happen from what I've heard is 2026. Because also next year, Mania 40 is going to be in Philadelphia. Where it is at 2020, Mania 41 in 2025 would be somewhere in Minnesota. Where the Minnesota Vikings play their big football stadium. And so the next open spot is for the Mania 42 in 2026.
Didn't Lesnar play for them?
Well, he wanted to, and then he got in that motorcycle crash. So he is from Minnesota.
Yeah.
So I wonder if Lesnar is rounding out his career, maybe if that's the year they say, ah, this year's headline in the main in the Hall of Fame, Brock Lesnar. Especially with the deal with Endeavor and everything.
Yeah.
But so yeah, 2026 Mania 42 is the earliest possibility of seeing WrestleMania in London. Should the UK or whoever needs to fork over the cash, forks over the cash.
JPW.
And you could get the train down since you love the train so much.
I do love the train.
As do I. But on occasion, I'm getting a plane.
So are you enjoying your blue drink?
I am enjoying my blue drink.
Your blue hooch.
Blue hooch.
What flavour is it again?
It just says alcohol tropicade.
Is that what it says?
That's what it said, alcoholic tropicade.
Tropicade.
It's got a picture of a lime, a pineapple, and what I assume is a mango on it.
Ah, so it's boozy and lilt.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, boozy and lilt. Isn't that a fun drink? I enjoyed lilt. Oh.
Yes.
I really did.
Yeah. So summer, going to SummerSlam seems like a hell of a show, but and yeah, the possibility of Mania in England. Something I didn't think about when Grayson Waller came out is that somebody said afterwards, like, imagine you're in Australia and the idea of Mania happening in your country is being used as a punchline so English people can boo you. Where if you're Australian, you're standing like, no, fuck you, like, why can't we have WrestleMania as well?
Mm-hmm.
Last big thing we got was that Super Showdown a few years ago. That had fucking Triple H and Undertaker fighting years after anyone wanted to see it.
Where was that?
The Australia one.
Oh, I know.
That's that god-awful tagged match in Saudi Arabia, the one where Shawn came out of retirement and Kane's mask fell off.
Oh, yeah, bald Shawn wrestling.
Mm.
I haven't seen that match, and I don't want to. I don't want to watch no, your bald
life,
Shawn.
Your life is a lot better having not seen it.
Yeah, I don't want to watch an old bald man with a scaly eye wrestling. I mean, he's went from being an old baldy scaly eye cretin to looking like Trevor for GTA, so,
Well, yeah, he's got his hair back, but not much of it.
Yeah.
But even having some hair is better than seeing Shawn being bald, though.
That is better. That is better.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about old man Shawn anymore.
No.
Because it'll just make us both sad.
But my point was that Mania going to places like, you know, the UK, going to maybe Australia. God, imagine, I don't know what the hell the time-wise going to Australia.
SummerSlam govern.
Yeah, maybe no. Hell, go back to Canada. You've not been to Canada first since Mania 18.
No.
You know.
Have we got any Canadians that are worth promoting?
Well, you got Owens and Zayn.
I suppose.
I'm sure there's others, but I can't remember them off.
As long as they're only planning on building anything around Squarefest.
Edge.
Oh, aye, but he's like 90 now or something.
No, he's like 47.
Old Edge with his short hair, and you've got the only reputable ones you've got is Sammy and KO, because at least they're, you know, awesome and funny. You know.
Funny.
Well, they are. Like I say, as much as I don't really.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the fact that they've not got any kind of decent tag title program going on.
Yeah.
I really enjoy the dynamic between the two of them, with KO getting his cell annoyed and then fucking Sammy going, Cam, you're alright, calm down, don't be stressing.
Like a fucking old husband and wife, like, will you stop stressing? Have you taken your tablets?
That's what they're like.
Have you taken your tablets yet?
I just like it whenever KO's like you tell me to calm down, but I want you, look, you see what they did, let me go out and punch people and hit people now, come on, can we go do that now? And he's like, aye, alright, come on, calm, we can go hit people.
Don't call me a wrestler, you know that makes me crazy.
That's what he's like. But no, we could easily build something around there too, but if we tried to build it around Natalia, people would just laugh.
Oh yeah, but what's funny, like, it seems like with every big AEW or big WWE show, inevitably the news comes out like, this helps it, this record for this area, this amount of money was made. So maybe it's not Attitude Era levels, well, it's hard to compare, but it's funny, like, because WWE went through a period where money was going down, like, they've had periods like the New Gen era or like mid-2000s period where they weren't making as much money. But like, them and AEW are finding that at this period of time, there is still a lot of money to be made in wrestling.
Well, I did fans. Hear a thing that apparently they're making more money now than we did during the Attitude Era.
Well, like, SmackDown in London was like the highest grossing SmackDown, like, ever. Like, and might have been their highest grossing, like, arena show. Ever.
Yeah.
Like, for advertising and shit like that. And then they got a shitload of money through sponsorships for Mania. Well, Forbidden Door, the AEW show in New Japan in Toronto, is apparently the highest grossing wrestling show, the third highest grossing wrestling show of all time in Canada, behind Mania's 18 and 6.
Yeah.
Don't know which one is first over those two, which one made more money, but it's just those two. And for two shows to be behind two WrestleManias is not much to be stiffed at, but like, it seems like every so often AEW will do a show like, this broke a certain record for their event. Now this one's made more money than that one. And you gotta think, by size, Wembley will break some sort of record for them.
Oh, I think so. Apparently, we're also planning on a Forbidden Door thing between Impact and NXT.
Impact and NXT?
I've seen it online.
Interesting.
Yeah, but apparently they're planning some Forbidden Door thing with Impact.
We mean AEW may be doing them?
No, not AEW. WWE.
Well, I know Impact are going to be doing another one of those Impact crossover shows in Philly in August 20, I think it is, for whom the bell tolls, because it's in Philadelphia, and that's where the Liberty Bell is.
Yeah.
And I think the night before, you might see some Impact Red guys on New Japan show, they're doing the All-Star Junior Festival USA.
Yeah.
It's quite cool.
It'd just be kind of cool, because, I mean, if Impact do a thing with the WWE,
mm-hmm.
it'd be nice seeing some Impact guys coming out to an entrance that has some oomph behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an entrance with a budget behind it.
Yeah. I think, I don't know if I have much else to say in regards to WWE. I'll briefly mention about AEW. I've been on that ESR Central show that ESR Suplex Retreat does. Me and those other guys talked a lot about the idea of when that new Collision show was starting and the idea, like, do they need another show? Like, the part of the reason they did it is because someone from Warner Brothers said, here's a shitload more money, do another show.
Yeah.
And they did it on a Saturday and everything. And also talk, but really, for my money? Weirdly enough, Collision's been one of the best things they've done in a while. Just watch just a fun tour show, a bunch of guys who have either not been on in a while or aren't getting featured on the other show, basically like, here's us having great matches, like Andrade v Buddy Matthews
yeah.
on the first show and everything. Here's Christian parading around managing Luchasaurus, who won the TNT belt, but Christian's parading around as if he won it. And everything. And they've had some fun. It's like, hell, there was an 8-man tag on the second episode, and they opened the show. We have promos from both teams in the old, like, Survivor Series style, like, one guy says something, and then the other guy says something. They got to their faces. One guy says something, the other guy says something, you know, that they used to do back in the day. And then that, and then having fucking Elton John, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting as the theme song. Having this big, like, wrestling, and all set to footages of wrestlers try to look intimidating, set to fucking piano and Elton John. It's just a fun, because, like, my brother, the show Money in the Bank finished in Toronto. Actually, for us, it was just after Toronto because me and brother were a bit delayed. And then we were chatting with people and we were working about a little sweep we were doing with our pals. And then after that, we looked at what time is it? Oh, it's 20:01. And he's got a box, which means he can find ways to watch AEW Collision if he wants to. Like, oh, it's 20:01. Do you want to watch Collision? Oh, why not? So 1 o'clock, we stayed up. When everyone else got to bed, we stayed up and watched Collision. And it was a hell of a show.
Yeah.
You know, you had Samoa Joe in the main event and everything. They've been doing a lot of the Owen Hart tournament, like the men's one. Which is funny, actually, because, you know, the Saturday, and Elton John's words, Saturday night is all right for fighting because they're going to have, obviously, Slammiversary this Saturday. AEW Collision's going to be in Calgary. They feature the men's and women's finals of the Owen tournament that they do.
Mm.
And AEW's also doing a special right after Collision called Battle of the Belts. And also in Japan, they've got the G1 tournament first night. So if you're a wrestling fan, this Saturday is the day for you. And especially if you're one who likes to sample all like sorts of things. So yeah, there's a lot of big names who I've never kind of gotten into, either before they got to AEW or even while they're in AEW, but I've never got a chance to see live, so that's the big thing I'm looking forward to.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Like I say, I hope you all have
an
awesome time at it.
Yeah, this could be a show that I look back on years later when I watch it, like, maybe it wasn't that good, but I think the appearance of being there live is by far the biggest thing I've ever been to live.
Hey, remember to take pictures.
I will take pictures.
And if you're able to get any pictures with the wrestlers, remember to take pictures, because that'd be kind of cool to see a picture of you and say Samoa Joe standing there going, hey, are you in that Darby Allin dude?
Yeah.
Who I seen trying to do his little trick when he's flipping onto his skateboard the other day, and twice he fell over.
Yeah.
But on the third attempt, he got it.
Yes.
Yeah. The first one was kind of funny though, because he'd done it and then fell off the board and nearly fell out the ring. And then he got up after the second one, he was like, one more go, one more go, and then he'd done it and he was like, huzzah!
I have done it. Yeah, I mean, again, I only occasionally watch AEW, but like, again, being at a show this size, the first ever time you've come over, getting to say I was there.
Mm.
And plus, the people I'm going to be going there with is the main reason that I'm going to this thing, because it's a proper pay-per-view, this thing, because I've never been in properly at a pay-per-view live before. So, there you go. If I don't get to go to WrestleMania, this is like the biggest thing compared to a WrestleMania that I've been able to go to. I would have loved to have went to Clash at the Castle, and I wanted to, but
didn't have the money.
Well, yeah, it fell right on that little week period right before payday when I had nothing.
Mm.
I mean, if I wanted to, I could have arranged someone to buy my tickets for me, and then I would. But then by then, people were already buying accommodation, and by then, before tickets even came out, people had already bought their accommodation, and that was becoming harder and harder to get. And then when I heard it was going to be the O2 with far less seats, I'm like, I'm not even going to attempt trying to get tickets for Money in the Bank. Yeah. Yeah, that's all I need to really say about AEW. On to Impact Wrestling, who I've had some mixed thoughts about recently. My brother and I talk a lot about Impact and things that we like and things that annoy us.
I take it you are much like myself. It's not been gripping you the way it would have done recently.
Well, I was watching some stuff about it the other night. It's the first I've watched in quite a while. Like, there was a bit of a gap between Against All Odds and recently when I was watching it. Where are you going?
I can if you have one handy.
Thatcher's or which?
Whatever you've got handy.
Okay, here's a Thatcher then. Aha.
Cool. Because I don't want to take your hooch.
No, there's two cans of Hula Hooch in there.
No, I'll stick to this.
Okay.
Because this will be something to sip on.
Yeah, that's good. Maybe slow down on that Hula Hooch, because all of a sudden I'm feeling a bit. Even though I've only had a Thatcher.
It does leave you a little gassy, doesn't it?
Well, I've had a Thatcher before that, so like maybe. I never had that with the other hooches.
Yeah, I think that one's a little bit more carbonated, I think.
Yeah.
Or it seems that way, you know.
Me and my brother, like, we watched it Against All Odds, and I've not watched a lot. So my brother's watches it more because he's got the Ultimate Insiders thing, which I'd sometimes take advantage of because it's there.
What's the Ultimate Insiders?
Where you can pay like £4 or so and you can get like full episodes and the Impact Plus specials on like for free, and then also you need to pay for the previews like Slammiversary. It's funny, like what AEW's been doing now, they've got Sunday previews and now they've got Collision, is what Impact's been doing for a while in terms of doing the Thursday show and then into the Friday for the specials. Like AEW with Saturday Collision and preview on a Sunday, like Here's a show right before, you know. Here's a show right before the pay-per-view. Here's a big angle. Oh, what's going to happen? You only have to wait till tomorrow to find out.
You're not going to, you know, flesh out a little?
I was like, oh, like you already booked the match, and like here's a big go-home angle, but it's literally the day before, so now you don't have to wait much longer. The pay-per-view's tomorrow. Bye. Buy it.
Buy it.
Buy it.
Buy it. Buy it.
Let's see. So, I mean, ups and downs. I mean, the biggest down I want to talk about is Dave Macklin's title reign. Because, yeah, albeit there was a very bloody affair, him and PCO back at Under Siege. And then they announced, oh, it's going to be him versus Alex Shelley. Oh, that'll be cool. And Alex Shelley, pretty much before it, went, ah, well, the only reason you got that belt is because, you know, Josh Alexander wasn't here. You know, Josh Alexander beat me, but you're no Josh Alexander. And he says, oh, no, see, Macklin, I'm going to prove he's not ready. And then he beat him. And proved he wasn't ready.
Yeah.
And then Macklin got shoved into this feud involved Scott D'Amore.
Yeah.
And then got injured in Australia.
In that wondrous and earth-shattering show they did in Australia.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't the best of little ground, but from what I've heard, I've not watched a lot of it, but from what I heard, the matches were solid.
Oh, yeah, like, I mean, I don't ever doubt that.
Yeah.
Like, the matches are going to be solid, because that's one thing you can always guarantee with Impact. The matches are always spot on. Really. I mean, some of them can drag a touch. Like, you don't have that thing that you would like to have, whereas, like, say you watch an episode of Raw or SmackDown or something, right?
Yeah.
And look at me once again using the dub as comparison. But you look at, and I can do that because the only wrestling I watch predominantly is either Impact or WWE, right? But you look at SmackDown and Raw, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're watching an episode of either of those two, at the course of the amount of matches you get on each show, right?
Uh-huh.
How many of the matches would you say, like, you could go and make your tea when they're on? Maybe one.
Mm-hmm.
How many of the matches on an Impact show do you think you could go make your tea during?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Impact have this thing that they did have for a while, which was keeping me really engaged, but it's like the show would start out shit hot and then it would dip a bit. And then by the end, you were engaged again, you know? Whereas the last few times, it's either started shit hot and got progressively duller as this went on, or else it started shit hot and then been no bad and then kind of dipped by the end, you know what I mean? Like, it has no real consistency to grip you.
Yeah.
Which is something I find unfortunate, because like you say, the wrestling is top quality, you know?
Yeah, I think a lot of, it's good that Impact are going to other places and everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they've been doing a lot, taking advantage of, like, their popularity in Canada and going to a lot of places there, because I remember going into Against All Odds, which was in Cleveland, I believe.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, it's good to see them doing a special in the US, because they've spent quite a bit of time in Canada. And then I remembered why, because, I'll be honest with you, from what I can remember, that Cleveland crowd was god awful. They were either silent or, in my opinion, they were cheering for the wrong fucking people. And I include PCO in that.
I get you on that one. I mean, his character's all interesting and shit, but the guy is, like, slow and violent.
Who is a better insult, PCO or Lita? Because I'm giving the mild edge to PCO.
Oh, yeah, I'll give it to PCO, because Lita, and I hate saying it, but Lita sucks now. There's a reason why Trish is still there and Lita isn't, apart from being injured. Even if she wasn't injured, I don't think she'd be there, because, well, she's shite. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about, modernly, I'm talking about Lita's Minstall when she was fucking active. But this whole stuff with Macklin laying into us in the Scott D'Amore thing, my brother has been very adamant about how much he doesn't like the overusage, I'll say, of Scott D'Amore on television. And, like, the video package about his wrestling career and the wee snippets of his time. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who really like him in the wrestling. Like, clips of, like, newspaper clips, like, that time he fought The Rock in, like, the mid-90s and everything.
He fought The Rock?
Like, when Rock was, like, still a rookie or whatever in Canada. When he was still
the blue chipper.
He was still Rocky Maivia.
Rocky Maivia coming out in the white and blue and the tassels and... Although, do you know something? And everybody shits on this, but I like the blue chipper. I like Rocky Maivia with his kind of floppy hair and his big grin going, you know? And his, what was his weird finisher line? Was it a splash?
Yeah, like a shoulder breaker, but then just, for more than that, went with a roll-up or whatever.
Was it not some kind of corner jump or some kind, like a corner?
Like a cross body or something?
Aye.
Yeah,
they tried so hard to get that out. I mean, fuck's sake, even when I see title during that fucking carry on. And who did he defend it against? The Sultan.
Mm-hmm.
Who we knew fine well he wasn't going to lose it to, because, I mean, they never done fuck all with the Sultan.
Mm-hmm.
Rikishi.
Yeah.
The Sultan.
Mm-hmm.
The Rikishi doing it for the kids. Rikishi.
Oh, I was listening to that classic Raw review that I listened to, and they did the episode where the Sultan debuted, and there was a joke about the Sultan and what he looked like that I was going to bring up here. It's fucking disappeared at my fucking head.
I hate it when that happens. You know, like, I've got a really good one. Oh, fuck, it's away.
Aye.
Yeah, but I mean, fucking, how many gimmicks did he have before he found one?
I found it. I got it. It was like, he described the Sultan as a mix of Bane. If you cross Bane from Batman with Kevin Nash's Oz gimmick, that's what you get when you get the Sultan.
Ah, that's harsh, man. Come on. I like the Sultan.
Not even Rikishi liked the Sultan.
Did he hate it as much as Cody hates Stardust?
I don't know. I mean, assuming he didn't really like it.
Do you know what was fucked up and all? I liked Stardust.
I know, you mentioned.
I thought Stardust was kind of cool. He's mental wee promos and shit.
Alright.
I don't think Cody should be so harsh to the fucking Stardust character. I think one thing, just to fuck his opponent, he should come out with a fucking gimmick on. Yeah. You know, like Seth did when he fought Roman, came out as a shield,
mm-hmm.
Seth.
Well, the only thing I was going to get across is, like, the overuse of, like, Scott DeWar on TV and Billy Ray. Like, I've heard people even say, like, oh, Impact does great matches. Oh, but I don't always watch because, like, I heard some people say that Billy Ray being so prominent on it puts them off because, like, they feel like, why is Billy Ray sitting in such this prominent position at this stage?
He's good.
Just saying, that's what I've seen some people say, and I'm like, if it's putting people off, then maybe they're not getting what they should out of it.
Well, people say that, but look at Billy Ray. I mean, what age is Billy Ray?
I don't know.
In his 40s or 50s?
Must be approaching 50 if he's not 50 already.
Right, so he's an older guy, but he's not any older than, say, Edge or whatever. So, I mean, you can't have it both ways. You can't even lord it and love it, but the fact that Edge is there,
uh-huh.
Who's an older guy with a neck problem, and then hate Billy Ray being there, you know what I mean? And Billy Ray can do a lot more than what Edge could do.
Billy Ray is 51.
51?
Yes. I don't know what else to say about that. But anyway, my whole point about it was, like, Josh Alexander getting injured, it was worse for Steve Macklin than it was for Alexander himself, in my opinion, because he lost in that big moment. Who's his first challenger? Oh, it's on pay-per-view, it's PCO. He got one match on TV to defend the belt against Rhino, then beat him up just to send a message to PCO. But then the whole thing during his title reign, he seemed to be feuding more so with Scott DeMore than with anybody else. Then got told, oh, you're not ready by Alex Shelley. Got proven right when Alex Shelley beat him in front of a crowd that maybe wasn't as lively as they should have been. And then got put in this fucking thing. And it's just this tag match for Slammiversary. It's because, like, literally everything else on the card, I look at it, I'm like, that's going to be awesome, that's going to be great, that's going to be good. And then this match stands out like a sore fucking thumb. Because then Madden gets injured and round, of all people, Billy Ray goes, oh, I'm teaming with Dina. You know, the guy who's leading a weird cult, because we have similar interests, apparently. And then they write PCO out by setting him on fire. And by him, I mean his jacket.
Yeah.
So they set him on fire, and then he might be out of it. So, who knows what's going to happen. And then they got that fucking hockey guy.
Who?
That Darren MacArthur guy who they hit Bramley had show up a wee while back as the special guest.
Oh, the hockey guy.
The special guest enforcer. I'm like, I remember when the enforcer thing came out, and I sent this to the graphic to my brother. I said, it feels like they're going out of their way to make me hate everything about this match.
The guy looks like he should be walking in a fucking petrol station or something.
Was just everything about this Scott DeMore tag match irks me.
I can see why, but, you know, I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt because it may be better. I mean, I'm not going to say it's going to be great by any means, but it may be better than you're giving it credit.
This may be the match I go for a push for.
That may be the...
When
you go after me, Clitty.
Well, school when me and my brother watched my event, we got two massive pizzas for Tesco.
Ooh.
Not Tesco, Sainsbury's.
What kind?
Cheese one and meat one. We had stuffed crust, but this is stuffed crust with a little bit of garlic through it with the cheese. Which originally, when I heard the idea of, like, I wasn't for, and then now I've tried it more, I'm like, no, I'm on board with this.
Yeah, you should be.
Well, it's funny, we had a bunch of sides with it as well. But, like, we had some Beats of Lead when Money Bank finished. So when we watched Collision about 20 minutes later, when we realised it was going to be come on, there we go. Collision's starting, heat the pizza up, we've got food to have with Collision. It was awesome. But I'm actually going to my brother's this Saturday to watch Slammiversary again.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, because he lives near, like, the Cats, you know, then out in Lancaster. When I went over from Money in the Bank on the Saturday, Sunday, I got a shitload of steps in for my step challenge, so that's another benefit of going to see my brother, is that I can, because there's all these walking paths you can go through near his, where he dates his dogs.
See, that's my thing that's annoying me at the moment, the whole being not well at the moment thing.
Yeah.
I have not gotten my steps in like I would like to.
Mm.
I try to get at least my minimum in a day, you know, like 6,000. That's the minimum I have on my phone for. Mm. If I can get that done, I'm good. And on my good days, I can usually get between 12,000 and 13,000, you know, if I have a good day. So to a point before I started feeling unwell, I was averaging out about 6,000 or 7,000 steps a day minimum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I say, if I can get the 6,000, then everything else is just gravy. You know, and I like getting my steps in, you know.
Yeah, okay.
I like it because it's like you set yourself a little goal in that sense. You're like, yeah, I'm going to get this in, I'm going to get my walking done. I know it's not fucking working out every day, but it's something.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I even tried a little weightlifting another day.
I assume that you're like me in terms of when you're no well, you don't want to do fucking anything.
Aye, not particularly.
No.
Like I say, I can only imagine how I'm going to be when the paracetamol wears off.
Yeah.
Probably no fun. Yeah.
I cannot be arsed with anything or anybody.
Well, before you got here, I was in the fetal position under the quilt going, why me? And then I took my paracetamol and went, no, the show must go on.
Yes.
It must.
Yes.
And damn it, I am a team player.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, other than that disappointment in terms of impact, there's a lot of other stuff I think there is to like enjoy about the show. Just like, there just seems to be every so often this one, whenever someone leaning into that build comes up, I'm like, oh god, this thing again.
Yeah.
So like, outside of that, I'll be all for it. Because like, let me read you the card
Sorry to cut in just quickly, but let's talk about Hall of Fame possibilities. I was saying this to Brian the other day.
Oh, you mean Impact Hall of Fame?
Oh, no, just Dub Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
What say you the possibility in the celebrity wing of Hall of Fame, the green shirt guy?
Fuck off.
Because he's there all the time.
He even flew all the way to fucking London for Money in the Bank.
Yeah. He deserves a little bit of credit, man.
Anyway. Also, we lost fucking Jordan Grace recently, didn't we?
Yeah.
From Impact.
We lost her to muscle building.
Yes.
She wants to be bigger.
Mm.
She wants to be a walking muscle.
She joked about that segment between, you know, that thing between Masha and Keller Kelly with the chain and everything, and she went, really, you wait till ILE to do stuff like this?
Yeah.
I didn't, the guy who shouted HLE during that segment can fuck off as well.
HLE?
It was that, Elliot Bischoff kept teasing that he was going to have women doing stuff on Raw, which he called HLE, which stood for Hot Lesbian Action. He had two women come out whose graphic came up as the lesbians. This is 2002 when they were desperate for ratings. So the guy who tried HLE during that Masha killer case, I mean, I know there's maybe certain connotations of that, but...
Fuck him.
But, like, they don't talk about it. Like, you know, that guy knows writers who use subtext, and they're all cowards.
Yeah.
So, yeah, fuck him. But anyway, let me read you out the card here, starting with the two countdown matches.
The Slammiversary card, yeah.
Outside of Austin, the tag match I mentioned, because right now, Quantum Wars partner Club Bell is TBA, so I don't know if they're going to announce something on it. In fact, this week, or maybe even wait to the pay-per-view itself.
Yeah.
But on the countdown, you got Kenny King versus Joe Hendry for the digital media title.
And that fucking Kenny King can go fuck himself. I don't like him.
You got that Jody Threat woman teaming with the Death Dolls against Giselle Shaw, Savannah Evans, and Jay Vidal in a match described as happening.
I hope that old bird and... Who's she tagging me again?
The Death Dolls.
Fucking... Aye, well, I don't like what they've done to Havoc and fucking... and Rosemary, so... I hope that they two freaks and their old fucking pal get their ass kicked. I don't like what they've done to the Death Dolls, and I don't like Jody Threat. She's like, no, she's like, see when a, like a young lassie brings her lot to a metal gig or something. That's Jodie Threat.
Anyway, on the main card, you've got an Ultimate X match for the X Division 3 on the one contendership of Jonathan Gresham, Mike Bailey, Kevin Knight, Alan Angels, or just Angels, and Kushida. Really solid match on Impact the other week between Angels and Jonathan Gresham in Atlanta, where they're both from, so the crowd were really up for it. And then afterwards, like, Angels basically looked at Dina, who was shouting, like, come on, don't shake his hand, come with me. And he just went, nah, I don't need you anymore. And
so is the design done?
Well, no, it's just Colin and Dina, I think, now.
Right.
Fucking, they, multiple losses to fucking Callahan and pals really fucked them over. Because it was cool to see Madman Volton randomly show back up again for one show. And good that Jake Crist is back.
So Madman Volton's no back proper then?
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think I've seen him since.
Mm.
Like, Jake Crist coming back is cool. Because it was a shame that he got caught up
in the bullshit.
Because he didn't do anything wrong. It was his brother that did shit wrong.
It was his brother that said dirty.
Aye.
So Dave, that, right?
Yeah, Dave. Fucking Dave.
Fucking Dave.
So that, then you got the Coven defend the tag titles against Killer Kelly and Masha Slamovich. Got Eddie Edwards and Frankie Kazarian in a match. We say from what I can remember, it's a feud over, I was trained by Killer Kelly, so was I, but you're a bad and he would not like that. Fuck you. I got my wife in my corner. Well, I know I've got my wife in my corner. Kill that. Use it, knock yourselves out. A four-way tag, which could turn into a five-way tag if the Rascals have their way. So far, it's ABC, Elson and Crispy, defending against Brian Myers and Moose, Rich Swann and Simon Gallagher, and Mark Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster. We got Leo Rush challenging Chris Sabin for the X Division Championship.
Alright.
We got Trinity challenging Dion Prezzo for the Knockout Championship, and we got Alex Shelley defending against Nick Aldis in the main event.
I hope that Shelley defends that, because I don't much like Nick Aldis.
I at least appreciate that they turned him heel, because that's where he's best suited.
When did that happen?
Literally right after against Aldis. They had this big like multi-person tag match and he was on Shelley's side, and then literally after the match he grabbed the belt off and clocked him with it. And his big gripe is like how he feels like people like Shelley and people in the wrestling media characterize him wrongly as someone who didn't pay his dues, because like when he was in Impact the first time he got given the world title at one point and a lot of people thought he wasn't right ready at the time, which I don't think he was. Then he went away, had a proper title, two proper title runs when he was NWA champion. You know, the last good thing that happened to that company, because now that he's left, look how fucking far into the dirt that place has gone.
I don't know nothing about Billy Corgan's plaything.
And we're better off with it. So now he's back as a heel. You're seeing Leo Rush come in, because it's weird, Leo Rush is a face in Japan, but then he came over and is now a bad guy. Like, I haven't had a chance to watch it, but I want to watch it before Slammiversary, where the other weekend Impact, the main event was Rush and Aldis versus the Machine Guns in the main event.
Is this another thing where Impact are just taking Millennium?
I think so.
Typical. That annoys me about Impact. It really does. Like, stop taking Atlanta people. Mm-hmm. Actually sign people. Fill your roster with capable talent.
Well, I don't think Rush is signed to New Japan, so like he's kind of free to go where he wants. So if he wants to go in Impact for a while, they can. So
he could sign like a short-term contract.
He could sign a deal as long as, you know, that's the thing with some, because like Impact and New Japan have the relationship where they can use talent who appear on both. Like, we got here Kevin Knight and Kushida down here, where like it's a case of like, oh well, if one of them signs a deal with Dealer, like they can still work for the one that they're not signed to, as long as it doesn't conflict with dates for the one that they're contracted to, you know. Because even if it does kind of conflict, like they can still send and use them, because like Mike Bailey missed a month because Impact were happy to say, "Hey, fucking go off and do the Super Junior tournament and everything." It was going to be interesting, some of these like title matches, especially. I don't see many of the titles really changing hands. I was actually surprised because like that Shelley won, because I had this theory in my head going into Against All Odds where like I thought Sabin's going to win the X Division belt, but Shelley's going to fail to win the world belt and he's going to snap and take it out on Sabin, and that would lead to a split between the Machine Guns, but that didn't happen. I'm not disappointed that it didn't happen, because it's cool to see like one of them with the world belt, one with the X Division belt.
Yeah, that's cool. It was cool to see Shelley finally winning a significant belt.
Yeah. And
he has that upon his resume now.
Like all this was like complaining about his problem, like the way that people like Shelley mischaracterized me. He said, like, I think you're just jealous that I became a world champion and half the time it took you to be world champion.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's not a big match that's got the biggest bill behind it, but it's a unique match. I don't think we'd have even seen when they were both in Impact originally, back in like the early 2010s and stuff like that. I mean, they might have fought in tag matches like when Manders was like teaming with Doug Williams in that, but I don't think we'd have seen these two fight off in like singles too often, so at least it's a fresh enough match. I've not minded Trinity's time in Impact. I mean,
Trinity's been fun.
It's amazing that like her and Mercedes like former side events could have went anywhere they wanted, and Mercedes like, I like Japanese wrestling, I'm gonna go over there, and Trinity like, I'm gonna bide my time, like, look at Impact, seems nice, I'm gonna go over there.
Yeah, Impact seems like a chill work environment.
And Impact basically, I mean, I don't know what they're gonna do with. I actually would not mind what happens in this outcome with a knockout spell, but I do like the idea of whether or not she wins or not. It's a case of like, okay, we're striking while the iron's hot there, so hate the fact that Trinity is here, so let's put her in as big a spotlight as we can. Like, you look, here's her. And you're like, remember Dawn Piazza and all the hate you've heard about her? She's fighting her. Here's two great women's wrestlers in a big showcase match for Slammiversary.
Do you think Trinity will beat her?
She could.
I wouldn't be upset either way. Like,
yeah, I've liked what Dionne has done so far when she beat Jordan back at Hard to Kill. No, not Hard to Kill, Rebellion. Because it helped her find a bit of focus again. And like, they've not had them fully say that one of them's the bad guy or the good guy. Like, Dionne could have helped her the other week there when she was getting beat up. When Giselle Shaw and her pal were beating up Trinity, and she did help her, but she took her time doing it. So it seems like she's gone from, oh, I want you to be 100% to, nah, maybe I don't, maybe I do, maybe I don't want you to be 100%, maybe I want an easy win at Slammiversary. So not outright telling you that Dionne is the bad guy here, but if Dionne loses, then that may be leading into a rematch. She could then probably snap in, no, fuck you, coming in and taking my belt, I'm coming back for you, and then she becomes fully heel again.
What if Trinity loses and then she becomes heel?
Also a good possibility.
You know, if Trinity loses and then loses her shit and then jumps Dionne after the fact.
Plays a role, maybe feeling entitled, like, no, this is not the plan, I was supposed to walk in here and rule all of you.
She comes in and she gives it the whole spiel, like, I was champion here, I've been a champion and a tag champion, and I came to your...
I could have gone anywhere, you're lucky to have me here.
I came to your midden and I still couldn't beat your bloody champion.
Aye.
So...
They've been getting over the fact that she's been using a submission move, so I think they want to tease the idea. It's about, I can't remember what her submission's called, but a fight between that and Dionne's, like, armbar.
Dionne's little Venus de Milo and...
Like, I don't know what it's called, the 21, but it looks very much like a variation on the old Rings of Saturn kind of move that she uses. Like, now, like, they kind of pull in the arms, but I kind of like what Dionne does, but like this, Trinity has a more in a crucifix position, on the mat. Right. So, two very effective looking submissions, so it helped, even though they could even do some sort of submission based rematch after this. I'll go through the card, before I go through the card there. Have you seen Joe Hendry's latest music video?
I haven't, no.
Basically, Kenny King took a break from wrestling briefly to become a male stripper, and then went back to wrestling. And basically, that's been the thing. Kenny King, 1 week, came out to challenge Joe Hendry, said, I want to come after that belt. The next week, he showed up and did a video called Stripper Kenny. Much like he's done to like people like...
Yeah.
Nakodo and people like that. And now...
I think the best one was Edge's Bitch.
And like, that's just be Joe Hendry's bread and butter on the indies, like making videos with people, and now he's slowly been doing that. I think people in America, people who didn't know him from before, are feeling the same excitement that people used to back in the day in the UK, like, oh, he's done another video. There was a bit where his lassies came up to Kenny, give him money, try and get his clothes off. Like, see, ever since, at least women won't stop bawling me ever since he did that video. Don't say his name. Joe Hendry comes in, say his name. And then he goes, you know, it's 2-on-1, you know. I can get back up any time I want to. I just have to say his name. And that year, you Muir popped up, and he got his own little music, like, say his name, and he pops in as well, and they both did the clap. I love that they have Kenny look around and just like, where's that music coming from? Why do you always have music everywhere you go? Anyway, let's do some quick predictions, shall we? Okay, Hendry v. Kenny King.
Hopefully, Hendry.
I say Hendry also. Women's six-person tag on the... Bye.
Don't really care.
Neither do I. I'll just say Giselle Shaw.
Yeah, let's say hopefully that one.
Let's say Mo.
Yeah.
Ultimate X match, your options are Kushida, Angels, Kevin Knight, Mike Bailey, Jonathan Gresham.
Anybody, as long as it's no Bailey or Gresham, because they bore me.
Okay. I'm going to say Gresham anyway, because I think it might be him.
The midget with the collar bigger than him.
Coven versus Killer Kelly and Masha Slamovich.
Hopefully Slamovich and Kelly.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. I'd like to see both of them with belts, so it'd be nice to see that. Yeah. Eddie Edwards versus Frankie Kazarian.
Don't care.
I'm going to say Kazarian. Four-way slash potential five-way for the tag team titles.
ABC, hopefully.
I think that as well. Sabin versus Leo Rush.
Don't care.
I need you to give me one of
Leo Rush.
I'm going to say Sabin. Billy Ray and Dina versus Scott D'Amore and whoever.
Hopefully Billy Ray and Dina.
I'm going to reluctantly say Scott D'Amore because it feels like that's all been set up. Because like, the odds have been stacked against the bad guy. Like, everything about this is being said. The bad guys aren't winning this.
Which you're is going why to, they'll win it.
And you're going to hate this. And I probably will. Donna Perrazzo versus Trinity.
Ooh. Ah. Weirdly, this is the one I'm most invested in. I'm going to say Deonna, but with a question mark next to it, because I'm unsure. Either one of those two could win this, but I will not be upset either way.
I'll say Trinity with a smaller question mark, because I think that buzz around her being the champion and everything, and she does quite a few things outside of, like, before she came in, her and Mercedes were always seen at these red carpet events, so maybe Impact, like, if she goes to some of these events and she carries the Impact Knockouts belt, that gives, you know, buzz. That's like when Mickie James showed up in the Rumble with the belt.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Trinity, and I'm going to go for Shelley to retain over Aldis.
Yeah, that'll be cool, because Aldis is a fud.
Yes.
I never liked him when he came back and he was a face, neither. I just thought he was a ball bag.
Mm-hmm. And he was playing a ball bag.
Properly. Is he no, that old bird who can't do a kip-ups, man?
If you mean Mickie James, then yes.
Aye, that old bird that can't do a kip-up.
Yeah. That's everything we need to really talk about in terms of wrestling, because I don't think there's that much else to talk about.
No, I think we've talked a lot about every promotion that we are significant on.
Yeah. I briefly mentioned that's the G1 in New Japan, which I'll be tuning for, because I do a show about Japanese wrestling and on ESSR called East Meets West, so I'll be tuning in properly for that. I'm looking forward to it.
That'll be cool.
Yeah. Hope you guys enjoy Slammiversary or SummerSlam or whatever's going on in AEW in the lead up to All In London. And whatever you enjoy, you know, yeah, we might not enjoy the same thing as you, but, you know, like what you like and don't be a dick to other people about it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's something in wrestling for every fucking one.
Mm-hmm.
You might not like one fucking thing, but somebody's going to like it, so, you know, the way you should be, treat every wrestling fan with the same respect, do you know what I mean? Because just because they don't like your shit,
they're
still wrestling fans, damn it.
Yeah.
You know?
And you can make sure to keep up with what's going on, Scott and Bold Valen podcast at SP Rambling on Twitter. We're also available on Rogue Opinions' feed at Rogue Underscore Opinions. That's on Twitter. Maybe at some point we'll set up an account on that new platform, Thread, if enough people are leaving Twitter, because I don't really have a side in this whole Zuckerberg, Elon Musk thing, but I also want to promote the show, so I'll go anywhere where there's people to promote the show. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/rambling podcast, like that Facebook page. We're available on both Virgo Payne's feed and our own feed. Anyway, you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Podbean, anywhere you get your podcasts. Whose theme song should we get to play us out then? We've talked about a lot of wrestlers on this show.
But we have talked about his fun tunes. We could just finish out with Joe Hendry's song.
Yeah. I'll play something with Joe Hendry. Maybe I'll even play his weird Kenny King theme song.
Yeah, play his Kenny King song.
Aye. And I'll show Paul that clip after we go off and he'll, you can tell me what he thinks about it.
Cool.
Until then, enjoy whatever wrestling you enjoy. I'll be back next time. We have some fun wrestling-related episodes coming in the summer that I have planned. And check out our past wrestling lady episodes in the back catalog. All sorts of retrospectives, reviews, and all sorts available. Till then, that has been Paul, and I have been Scott.
And that's been Scott, and I have been Paul.
And this is Joe Hendry. Ta-ra.
See ya.
Kenny, you've been wrestling for a long, long time. You could have been the champion, but something was on your mind. And Kenny, I found something disturbing from your past. It was revealed on Renee's podcast. And when you face Joe Hendry, you will not be the winner. Cause the most successful you've ever been is when you became a male stripper.